It was the best of films, it was the worst of films. Charles Dickens' A Tale of Two Cities, from 1859, spins a swashbuckling yarn about Paris and London. Dickens skillfully uses the French peasantry's rise against a corrupt and arrogant aristocracy during the French Revolution as a point of contrast to the unreformed, wretched conditions in late 18th century Britain. For its part, this year's Oscar-winning Best Picture, Argo, concerns Hollywood filmmakers rescuing American diplomats from the Islamic Revolution in 1979 Iran. But just what sort of tale of two cities, Los Angeles and Tehran, is Argo exactly? What will two tales of two cities tell us that one did not? In paired long shots, director Ben Affleck presents a shot out the window of a hotel in Tehran, a sprawling metropolis of some 10 million people set amidst the glorious backdrop of the snow-covered Alborz mountain range. A similar shot of the collapsing Hollywood sign visually rhymes Los Angeles with Tehran. However, this later shot is a historical impossibility. Argo is set during the Iran hostage crisis of 1979 to 1981, when in fact the Hollywood sign was restored in 1978. Argo needs to historically extend the sign's decay in order to build its connection between the restoration of Hollywood power with that of American political status. Argo begins with a comic book retelling of the modern history of Iran. The film accurately relates the CIA's 1953 overthrow of the popular Iranian Prime Minister Mohammad Mossadegh and Shah Reza Pahlavi's subsequent U.S.-supported quarter-century imitation of Louis XVI's decadence. However, Affleck stops before the most damning critique of the United States' culpability in ruining modern Iran. As David Halberstam relates in his excellent book, The 50s, in order to simulate a revolution against Mossadegh, the CIA had to pay Tehran residents to pretend to protest against him, thus validating the U.S. imposition of their puppet, the Shah. However, after the comic book opening concludes, no further indication is forged with any Iranian character. At the end of the film, the militants incompetently try to stop the jetliner carrying the Americans to safety, effectively reinventing a Keystone Cops routine on the Tehran airport's tarmac. Like most other Middle Eastern characters in a Hollywood movie, the Iranians are ideological buffoons. At the end of the film, Affleck's CIA agent gives the Iranians the storyboards to the fake film. Their similarity to Star Wars captivates the seemingly ideological militants, proposing that Hollywood's myths overcome historical reality. Affleck is half correct. The artifice of Hollywood is indeed the artifice of America. It sometimes makes us great, but too often it makes us vile. These storyboards symbolically erase the similar cartoon images that began Argo, editing out the historical details that explain the Iranians' hatred of Americans. A new hope, indeed. Affleck's Argo proposes its inherent superiority to the hack 1970s science fiction film that's not being made because it's merely a CIA cover story to rescue the diplomats. However, this sleight of hand masks the fact that Iranian cinema after the revolution became one of the great national filmmaking traditions in the world. These films are just as critical of the Islamic Revolution as Argo is, but without having to depict all Iranian people as lunatics. When Argo ends, we're led to believe that the Reaganite restoration of American power in the 1980s led toward the resurgence of Hollywood that Affleck's film itself represents. The filmmaker within the film, producer Lester Siegel, played by Alan Arkin, invents a crude joke, "Argo yourself." Well, the joke's a bit cruder than that, but you get the idea. Alas, by turning this unfunny joke into the film's mantra, repeated by makeup artist John Chambers, played by John Goodman, and Affleck himself, the film ends up telling the rest of the world to do just that, in the face of American political and Hollywood storytelling power.